This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with our series called Doing Business with God. In this series, Pastor Rick helps you understand why you work, what you should be working for, and how God can use you in your workplace. In just a bit, we'll tell you how to get a DVD study kit of this series that's perfect for your individual study and also great to do with a small group of friends. You can take a sneak peek by going to PastorRick.com right now while you listen, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Making Wise Decisions at Work.
Number six, the sixth thing that Solomon says to say you need to do is plan for problems. Plan for problems. Now, you may not want problems, but they sure want you. Okay, so you got to plan for problems in any major decision. Everybody knows Murphy's Law. If something can go wrong, it will. I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, Murphy was an optimist. I think that's true. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong. Now, you can't ignore problems, as I said, because they're not going to ignore you. You're going to face them, so you've got to prepare. Now, how do you do that with faith? Here's the key. Hope for the best while preparing for the worst. That's what the Bible teaches. I hope for the best, but I prepare for the worst. Because all sunshine and no rain makes a desert. There are going to be storms that come in life. Jesus said, when you have tribulation, he didn't say if you have, he said, when you have tribulation, when you have troubles, it's inevitable. It's just a matter of time. Problems are going to find you. So you hope for the best, but you plan for the worst. Now, when I say plan for the worst, I mean, plan for problems, let me tell you what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean you solve them in advance. Listen closely. You cannot solve tomorrow's problems today. You have to solve them when you face them. But you can prepare for them. You can't solve them today, but you can prepare for them today. When you get there, God will give you the energy to solve it. But you're going to face them. Never confuse decision-making with problem-solving. Never confuse the decision-making phase with the problem-solving phase in life. If you have to solve all the problems before you ever make a decision, you're never going to make a decision. Because some problems you can't solve till you get there. 1963, John F. Kennedy stood up at Rice University and announced to the entire world, we're going to the moon by the end of this decade. When he said that, it was physically, technologically, and scientifically impossible. We couldn't do it. We didn't have the technology. There's more technology in your cell phone today than there was at NASA when they sent the guy to the moon. More computing power in your cell phone, if you got a smartphone, than all of NASA had at that day. And you realize what they used to get a guy to the moon and back. Then we didn't even have that in 1963. But leaders make the decision, then solve the problem. Don't confuse decision-making phase with the problem solving. You make the decision because it's the right thing to do, not because you can solve all the problems. And then when you get to the problems, you solve them in the problem-solving phase. So when I say plan for problems before you make the decision, I'm not saying you got to solve them. You're not going to. I mean, when you made the decision to become a parent, those of you who are parents, had you solved all the problems with your kids first? No, of course not. You didn't even know what the problems were. You wouldn't have had kids. God is so gracious that he unrolls the scroll a little bit at a time, because if he showed you the end, it'd scare you spitless. And so God says, make the decision and then solve the problem. But you plan for the problems in preparation. Proverbs 22 verse 3 says this, a sensible man watches for problems ahead and prepares to meet them. In other words, you're looking ahead. I can see that storm cloud coming. The simpleton never looks and suffers the consequences. So in the sixth step of biblical decision-making, you ask two questions. What could go wrong, and what will happen if it does? What could go wrong, and what will happen if it does? I'll never forget, in 2000, on the last day of 1999, when we decided to have a millennial celebration party at Saddleback. Many of you remember that. We closed this back parking lot, and we set up a giant stage about the size of Woodstock, and we planned a great evening that was going to start at like 7 o'clock and go till after midnight with fireworks to bring in the new millennium. It was the coldest night in 30 years at Saddleback Valley. It froze, it rained, sleet came down. We had a backup plan that people who were too cold could come in here, and we actually had a secondary place where people could come inside. Most of the people actually braved the weather and sat out there. We're going to have fun if it kills us. And we're under our rain tents as it's pouring down rain. And fortunately, nobody got electrocuted. And that night, I baptized about 50 people in a big hot swimming pool out there. I was so glad to get in that hot pool at midnight after being cold for 5 hours. But we had a backup plan. And people who couldn't handle that cold could come in here and they could watch it on the screens and stuff like that. So you plan for the worst. What could go wrong? What will happen if it does? Number seven. The seventh step in biblical decision-making is face my fears. I must face my fears. And this is the principle of confrontation. I've got to confront my own inner fears if I'm going to make a major decision. Because the root of all indecision, the root of all indecision is fear. Fear. F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. And we all have all different kinds of fears. I'm afraid that I will make mistakes and embarrass myself. You will, but it won't kill you. It won't kill you. I'm afraid that I won't be able to finish what I've started. I'm afraid I'm not good enough. All of these fears start pouring in you. Will you face your fears? Now, since we hate to face our fears, what we do is we make up all kinds of excuses. God came to Moses and said, Moses, I got a big plan for your life. And Moses said, I can't speak well, Lord. God came to Gideon and said, Gideon, I got a big plan for your life. Gideon said, I'm too young, Lord. I'm the youngest kid in the family, in the poorest family, in the smallest tribe of Israel. You picked the wrong guy. God came to Abraham and said, I got a great plan for your life. Abraham said, I'm too old. One was too young, one was too old. We all make excuses. But you got to remember this verse on the screen, Ecclesiastes 11:4. Oh, it's not on the screen. You know it. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. We looked at it last week. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Now, one of the great fears that everybody has that tends to keep us not making decisions is the fear of disapproval. Proverbs 29:25 on your outline. Fear of man is a dangerous trap, but to trust in God means safely. In other words, the moment I start worrying about what other people think, it's over for me. The party's over. I'm dead in the water. It's done. Because disapproval, that fear, is actually worse than disapproval. The fear of disapproval is always worse than disapproval. So here's what you need to ask. What am I afraid of? When you have a major decision and you're pausing and you're hesitant, you need to identify the fear, face it, and confront it. You need to face your fear head on. The only way to defeat a fear is to face it and move against it in faith. That's the antidote to fear. A lot of times we think, well, if I just ignore it, it'll go away. It won't go away. That fear won't go away if you ignore it. A lot of times we think we can talk ourselves out of a fear. I'm not fearful. That doesn't work. Okay? You can't, you know, fear's always got more excuses. How do I get rid of a fear? There's only one way to get rid of fear. Face it and move against it. Physically move against it. You do the thing you fear the most. And all of a sudden, boom, the boogeyman wasn't as big as you thought he was. You open that closet door, and the boogeyman wasn't even there. What am I afraid of? Now, the only antidote to fear is faith, and that brings us to the last step. Step 8 is this. Step out in faith. Step out in faith. This is the principle of initiation. Initiation. At some point, you got to pull the trigger. You got to stop aiming. You pull the trigger. Step out in faith. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? You got to trust God and start moving. You got to do the thing you fear the most. Now, let me give you a little true confession. In every major decision we've had to make at Saddleback Church in the last 32 years, every single major decision, I was scared. But I did it anyway. Why? Because I happen to believe that you should build your life on the promises of God, not your own personal fears. So you say, well, what do you do if you don't have faith? When I don't have faith, I act like I do, and I do it anyway. Let me say that again. When you don't have the faith to do something, you act like you've got the faith and you do it anyway. And guess what? The faith will show up. Courage, you know this, is not the absence of fear. Courage is moving ahead in spite of your fear. You're not courageous unless you're afraid at the same time. If you're not afraid, you're not courageous. If you're not afraid, you don't need courage. Courage comes because you're scared to death. But you happen to believe, this is what God wants me to do, so I'm going to do it, even though I'm scared to death. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Trust the Lord with all your heart, and don't depend on your own understanding. Remember the Lord in all you do, and he will give you success. Circle that. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding, your own fears, your own weaknesses, your own perspective. Remember the Lord in all you do, and he will give you success. You see, God supports those who move in faith. I have seen that thousands of times in my life. Thousands of times in my life. God supports those who move in faith. So here's the question you want to ask. Where do I need to trust God? You haven't really believed God until you've attempted something you can't do in your own power. Sometimes you feel so weak. You're physically weak. You're emotionally weak. You're mentally weak. You are drained. Friends, I can't tell you how many sermons I've preached in that condition. Physically, emotionally, mentally drained. Everything coming at me from this way and that way. I can't tell you how many sermons I've preached like that. God supports those who move in faith. Where do I need to trust God? Now, I don't know what decision you need to make this weekend, but I want to dare you to do something significant with your life. Why is this important? Why did I spend a whole week in teaching you about how to make wise decisions? Because your decisions determine your destiny. Your choices determine your character. They determine your eternity. Your decisions determine your destiny. We become whatever we are committed to. Let's bow our heads. Where do you need to trust God? If you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ, that's the starting point. You need to say, Jesus Christ, I need to make a first-time commitment to you. I've never stepped across the line. And I don't understand it all, and I haven't figured out all the problems. But I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm going to open my life to you. You need to just tell him, say, yes, Jesus, that's me. Today, I'm stepping across the line. I don't understand it all, but I'm stepping across the line. I'm stepping out in faith. I want you in my life, and I want my life to be living your purpose for me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. If you've never been baptized, that's the next step you need to do. You need to publicly come out as a Christian. Say, I'm not ashamed to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe you were baptized like a lot of us were as babies. I'm talking about as an adult. Jesus was 30 years old when he was baptized. He was dedicated in the temple as a baby, but he was baptized as an adult because it was his faith now, not his parents. Maybe you need to say, Jesus Christ, I don't know what you want me to do with my life, but I'm saying yes in advance. If you're not in a small group, that would be a next step, a baby step. I'm going to get in a small group. I don't know. I don't really know, but I do know this. There's a next step for you. God didn't bring you here tonight or today just to say this and have you not do anything about it. Pray this prayer in your heart. Dear God, I want to follow these steps for the rest of my life. And when I have a major decision to make, first I want to check the Bible and know your revelation. Then I want to do the best I can to get the facts and get the information. And then, Father, I want to ask for advice and get the consultation. Help me to be humble and look to people who've already been where I am headed. I want to set a goal. I want to count the cost. Help me to plan for the problems, what could go wrong, and plan for that. Most of all, Lord, I need you to help me face my fears, confrontation, to move against the thing that I fear the most. And tonight, today, this week, this month, I want to step out in faith and trust you. I want to be a man or a woman of courage to do the thing that I fear the most. I pray you'll give me the power to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together, so please stay with us. If you missed anything, just go to PastorRick.com to listen online anytime or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Do you want to earn more than just a living? You can, because God planned a ministry for you through the work you do. It doesn't matter what your job is, a manager, a stay-at-home mom or dad, a doctor, a teacher, or a sales clerk, paid or volunteer. The Bible says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart and with enthusiasm as working for the Lord, not for man. No matter what your daily routine looks like, God wants to use your work to minister to others. That's why Pastor Rick put together a study kit called Christians in the Workplace. It includes a 6-session study guide and DVD where Azusa Pacific professor Paul Schreier works with Pastor Rick to teach you how to transform your everyday tasks into a ministry. When you give a gift to support Daily Hope, we'll send you the Christians in the Workplace study kit to say thanks. Go to PastorRick.com to get yours, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with 2 R's in the middle, or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There's only 2 days left to get this great study tool, so don't wait. Here's Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to share with you a note I got in the mail from Alyssa. She wrote, "Hi, Pastor Rick. I'm a 33-year-old living in Jamestown, North Dakota, and I'm married with 3 kids. I just want to thank you so much for your Daily Hope broadcast. I listen to them regularly, and I've learned so much. You know, I realized very quickly that I needed to have a notebook journal available to write down all the notes as I listen to you. I love the convenience that the podcasts have, and I turn them on as I'm getting ready in the morning while I'm cooking or I'm in the car traveling, and even when I'm working out, which is great. I've also been sharing them with several people. I often think of specific people that I want to share your podcast with after I've heard your message. I don't know if they've listened to them or not.
after I've shared them, but I do know that one of my friends has been regularly listening to you now. And I ran into her at the park when she was jogging, and when she stopped to say hi, I could hear your voice in her earbuds. That's great. She's been struggling with a verbally abusive relationship for many years, and I know that your Daily Hope has helped her. Rick, God has really used you to reach so many people, and I thank you for being obedient to Him and His calling to you. I will continue to pray for you. Thank you for impacting my life, Alyssa. Well, Alyssa, thank you for sending this message. You know, we live to hear these stories, and I'm so glad to hear how God is using Daily Hope, not only in your life, but in the life of your friends, because you cared enough to pass it on. So thanks for sharing that podcast with others. I know you're being a blessing to them. And I want to say to the rest of you, have you shared the news of Daily Hope with anybody? Would you find one person today and recommend that they start listening to Daily Hope, either on the radio or on a podcast or getting the daily devotional through the email? We are here to help you fulfill your mission in sharing Christ with other people. So tell one person today about Daily Hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.